Hello and welcome everyone to the Premier Foods Quarter One Trading Update Analyst Conference Call. My name is Becky and I will be your operator today. All lines will be muted throughout the presentation portion of the call, with the chance for Q&A at the end. If you wish to ask a question in this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. I will now hand over to your host, Alex Whitehouse, to begin. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this, which is our Quarter One Trading Update call, and that covers the 13 weeks to the 27th of June this year. As usual, I'm joined on the call this morning by Duncan Leggett, our CFO. I'll start by giving a few headlines on our trading in the quarter, and then we'll go into a few key areas to provide a bit more detail before, as usual, passing to you for questions that you might want to ask us. And also, as a reminder, we're holding our AGM at 11 o'clock this morning, which, as usual, we're hosting in our offices here in St Albans. So if any shareholders would like to attend and don't yet have the details, please do contact Richard Godden in Investor Relations for details of how to attend. So on to the Quarter One results then. And firstly, I am pleased to say that once again, we've grown our branded sales ahead of the market. That's up 4% and so further increased our market shares. And this was led by a particularly strong performance by our branded sweet treats, and with our biggest brand, Mr. Kipling, delivering especially strong growth. Now, overall, our group sales increased by 2.7%, and our UK branded sales increased by 3.8%, and that was led by our strong innovation programme. So the strong branded growth is partially offset there by further right-sizing of our less profitable non-branded business. So I'm pleased to say that we're on track at this early stage in the year and with our trading profit expectations for the year unchanged. I'll take you through some of the progress we've made in the first quarter, but before I do that, I just wanted to remind you of the branded growth model, which is the core of what we do and is the reason why we've been able to deliver such consistent, strong performance over an extended period of time now. Now, firstly, we're lucky to have a portfolio of really strong brands, which are leaders in their categories and have got very high household penetration. But then we spend a lot of time and effort talking to and listening very carefully to our consumers so that we can create and bring to market insightful new products, which are based on common consumer needs and trends, and which include things like premiumization and better for you options. We then support many of our brands with emotionally engaging advertising and impactful marketing campaigns to maintain that strong awareness of our brands and keep them contemporary and relevant. And we also use digital channels to enhance our connection with younger audiences. And finally, but very importantly, we work closely with our key retail partners to deliver category growth and deliver excellent in-store execution for our brands. And it's this brand of growth model that underpins our five-pillar growth strategy, where we continue to make strong progress in all of the pillars, but I'll come back to that shortly. So if I kick off with sweet treats first then, well, we've had another really great quarter here with branded sales up by 6.6%, and that was led by Mr. Kipling, which has grown by another 9% this period. And this trend means that our branded sweet treats has now grown on average by 8% for the last 11 quarters, which is clearly a very consistent, strong performance. And a significant part of this growth has been driven by the quality of the innovation programme, which, as I said, is a major part of our branded growth model and overall strategy. However, I should also point out that the underlying core product ranges also continue to perform very strongly as well. And we talked back in May about those sweet treats new product ranges, which we launched relatively recently. And this quarter, we've introduced further new products, including birthday cake slices, which build on the already successful birthday cake tarts. And you might remember these birthday cake tarts were inspired by a trend that we've seen in the US for birthday cake as a flavour. And these are selling really very well indeed. And so we've extended the idea into our cake slices, which is, of course, our best-selling cake format. And we've also launched a new range of Mr. Kipling Whirls, including some modern flavours like cookies and cream, which will appeal to younger consumers. Now, these new ranges add to the product innovation we launched last year, particularly Mr. Kipling tubs of cake bites, which are perfect for sharing or for those wishing to control portion size, and also the Mr. Kipling breakfast bakes. Now, if we move on to the grocery business then, our grocery branded sales increased by 3% compared to last year. And similarly to the sweet treats business, we launched a series of new products, based on current consumer trends. And this includes an ambrosia custard in pouches, which are a convenient option. They're perfect for lunch boxes. They contain just 100 calories a pouch. And we also introduced Lloyd Grossman premium cooking sauce kits, which is the same format as the spice tailor, so a three-step kit to bring Italian restaurant quality meals into the home. And we've also brought to market Nissin Tanzan meals in a pot. And these are a complete nutrition product range, which are nutrient dense. They contain over 20 grams of protein per pot and 26 essential vitamins and minerals. And they can be particularly helpful for those using GLP-1s. In addition to those launches I've just outlined, we also delivered very good growth from some ranges that we introduced last year. And in particular, I call out Oxo Bone Broth and Angel Delight Bubble Jelly, which were significant contributors to both sales and growth and share gains for those brands. And moving to the non-branded part of the business, in sweet treats non-branded, sales increased by 5.3% due to some strong volumes on pies and tarts and a contract win for cake slices. And we expect our non-branded sweet treats to now deliver modest growth across the year. Non-branded grocery sales were 2.5 million lower in the quarter, and I've said before we continue to right-size this part of the business, and so have exited some further contracts which impacted the shape of the numbers in the quarter. We do actually expect the trend in grocery to improve as we go through the year. But as I've said before, whilst these non-branded contracts can be a bit lumpy, our target over the medium term is for these parts of the business to be flat or possibly deliver some modest low single-digit growth. And timing-wise, I'd expect this to take place in sweet treats before grocery, which is what we're now starting to see. I've certainly thought more widely at the other strategic pillars. We've continued to make some encouraging progress. The next pillar is investment in our infrastructure, and we haven't provided an update on this today as this is just a trading update. However, we do remain on track to invest somewhere between 55 and 60 million in CapEx this year. And by way of a reminder, this part of our strategy enables us to drive improved efficiency and automation through our supply chain, enhancing our gross margins, which means we can reinvest back into brand investments. Now, moving into new categories, I'm pleased to say we've continued the momentum here with sales increasing 16% compared to last year. So further good progress, especially when set against last year's comparative when sales in those new categories grew by 38%. This quarter, I'd call out cake, herbs and spice as a particularly strong performer, which, as I've mentioned before, has become an established presence in the market. It's great for bringing flavour to liven up a wide range of dishes, so poultry, fish, salads and ribs. And also across midweek evening meals, but also the barbecue season, which helps us reduce the seasonality sensitivity of our grocery business. Growth from new categories also included Fuel10K yogurt and granola, which we launched last year, and is in the chilled out. And this is a pot of protein-enriched yogurt with a lid containing some of our market-leading Fuel10K granola, which you sprinkle on top or which you can mix in. And now we move on to international. As I've said before, our focus markets are Australasia, North America, and EMEA. And within these target markets, we're currently focused on Mr. Kipling, Sharwood's, and the Spice Tailor, but now also Fuel10K. And in the first quarter, overseas sales at constant currency grew by 6%, and actually 7% on a reported basis. So if you take Europe first then, where we increased sales in double digits in the quarter, it's been very pleasing to see the encouraging start to the launch of Fuel10K, where we're initially in the Netherlands, Germany and France. And the Netherlands is where we've achieved the most significant distribution with both granola and porridge pots ranges listed in Albert Heijn. And we've supported the launch with some social media. And as I say, it's off to an encouraging start. In North America, sales also grew in double digits. Canada saw increased sales of the Spice Tailor, while in the US we saw very strong growth compared to last year due to the new distribution for Mr. Kipling's slices and pies, which took place in the second half last year, as well as some more recent listings. In Australia, sales of the Spice Tailor grew over 20% as it benefited from a multi-channel marketing campaign, which actually included TV advertising in addition to an immersive retail experience in one of Australia's largest shopping centres. And we do this because we know that once people try the Spice Tailor, They do really like it and they tend to come back and make it a regular purchase. So our focus is on increasing consumer awareness. And then in Cake, in Australia, we saw sales stabilise as retailer stock holding levels begin to normalise. And then just as a reminder, our final strategic growth pillar is to look for inorganic opportunities where we can deliver further growth by leveraging the strength of our branded growth model. And as you know, we're looking at acquiring future-focused brands which have significant further future potential to scale up and deliver high growth for many years ahead. And following that premise, all three of the brands we've acquired since we set out on this strategy, that's the Spice Tailor, Fuel10K, and Merchant Gourmet, they've all, again, grown sales in double digits this quarter, which we're really very pleased with. And Merchant Gourmet enjoys widespread growth across all its range, especially from some of its new launches, including the new Gourmet Baked Beans. And Fuel10K also continue to progress very strongly as well. We've mentioned before that we have the number one granola product in the UK market with our flagship chocolate granola. Well, that continues to be the case. And in fact, we've strengthened that further and taken more market share in the granola category. So another very strong performance from the brand. And then in terms of the Spice Tailor, the core Indian kits range performed particularly strongly. And the brand also then growing sales in the teens percentages in quarter one. So as I said before, we'll continue to explore further inorganic opportunities and where we believe we can add value by applying our branded growth model. And we're looking for high growth, future-focused brands. Of course, we do now have some greater flexibility in terms of the size of opportunities we can consider, given the strength of our balance sheet. However, and also, as we've said before, we are quite picky. And we'll update you when we've got anything more we can share on that. So look, in summary, we're on track. And our trading profit expectations for the financial year are unchanged. And it's particularly pleasing to see the good progress across the pillars of the growth strategy, and in particular, the role that our recently acquired brands are playing in accelerating overall group growth. As we look forward to the rest of the year, we'll continue to drive performance across all of those five pillars of our strategy and to leverage the strength of our branded growth model. And as usual, of course, we'll be continuing to support our brands, as well as bringing a number of new products to market in the UK, and also building our brands overseas. And over the medium term, we expect to continue to build the business by making strong progress against that five-pillar strategic growth strategy. So, look, you know, thank you very much again for your time today. I'll now pass back to the operator, and we'd be very happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you feel your question has been answered or for any reason you would like to remove yourself from the queue, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your device is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Charles Hall from Peel Hunt. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning, Alex. Morning, Duncan. Can I just ask on Ireland, what was the impact in the quarter from that change in from a distributor to direct retail? Was it just in that quarter? Presumably it doesn't affect ongoing sales. Just give a bit more colour around that. That'd be great, please.
Sure. Thanks, Charles. So what we've done is we've had a historic relationship with one of the retailers in Ireland, a significant one as well, where we've gone through a distributor, which isn't particularly efficient. So we've now moved that to direct delivery relationship, which obviously is more efficient, saves us some money and gives us a bit more control. So there is a one-off impact as we run down the stocks that were in the distributor's warehouse, if you think about it that way, because they own that stock. But you're absolutely right, it's a one-off. It only affects the first quarter of this year. And I think from an impact point of view, think about it as a couple of million or so of sales. And that would be grocery branded, so to be fair.
Yep, got it. Perfect. And then one other, can you just give an update on input costs and pricing? I think when you last talked about it, a little bit higher, but not looking to change pricing. Has that changed at all?
A similar picture, although obviously we're very aware of what's happening when we thought we'd got a ceasefire, but things to have seems to have dissipated on us. So we'll keep very close to that. If we need to take some action, then we'll do so. But at the moment, it doesn't look like we need to.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andrew Wade from Jefferies. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello there. A couple of questions from me. First one on innovation and product development. I'm just sort of interested as to, you know, the cadence of it seems to have stepped up or intensified. I don't know whether that's just a perception thing I'm perceiving it, or you're sort of explaining it in more detail, but it really seems like there's been some quite big wins there on the product development and innovation side. Is that you putting a bit more into it, or is that just sort of it's the way it's always been? And if it's step change, can we sort of see that continue at the same level? That's the first one.
Morning, Andy. Good question, actually, and quite observant as well, because yes, there is a subtle change here that's something we've been working on for a few years. It takes a little while for these things to filter through. So whilst we might not have more MPD in absolute terms, in fact, there might even be a little bit less, what we've been focusing on is coming up with ideas which have got overall greater scale-up possibility. So when you think of things like OXO bone broth, you know, that's something that we expect to be able to scale and be worth, you know, several million pounds of turnover, as opposed to doing lots of little things. And similarly with the innovation that we've talked about on sweet treats, like the breakfast bakes, which, you know, target a different time of the day. They're very specifically intended to be entirely incremental to the rest of the Mr. Kipling business, which is generally eaten lunchtime onwards. So there is a subtle change there, and it's really about scale.
Interesting. Thanks very much. And then the second one I was going to ask, on the non-branded grocery side of things, that was obviously a bit light of, well, certainly what I'd expected, and I think perhaps others as well. Obviously not too much of a concern, given it's sort of not a strategic priority and it was relatively low margin. But I'm sort of interested as to, you know, you're obviously still very happy with consensus trading profit expectations. Is it just that revenue is such low margin, it doesn't have much impact, or are you sort of slightly out trading elsewhere? Just interested in the dynamics around that. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's no change from what we've talked about before, Andy, really, because, you know, what we've been doing is deliberately unwinding some of these contracts where we're not really making any or very little money. So what you're seeing is relatively hollow revenue that we're getting out of, so therefore no impact on trading profit. If you look at the journey we've been on that, particularly on grocery, you know, we've now got a smaller non-branded business, but a significantly more profitable one, which is exactly what we were trying to achieve. Now, from that base, you know, that's something that we can now move forward on and start to, as you've seen on Sweet Treats, actually getting a bit of modest growth out of it, because we're kind of happy where we've got to. It's just going to take a little bit longer to sort of finish the journey on grocery. But I'd expect that to start to flatten out and eventually maybe get into a little bit of modest growth as we are on Sweet Treats.
Great stuff. Very clear. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, if you did want to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads now. Our next question comes from Matthew Webb from Investec. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. The first question is just on the impact of the timing of Easter. I don't think you mentioned it in the statement, but casting my mind back to the full year results, I think you'd said that some sales have been sort of dragged into Q4 26 out of this quarter due to the early Easter. I just wonder whether I remembered that correctly, and if so, whether you'd you know, be able to, I know it's very difficult to quantify it, but, you know, it was that enough to move the needle in the quarter, I suppose, is my question. That's question one.
Kathy, morning. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well remembered. Yes, we're right. In quarter four, we did say that quarter four had benefited from that changing in Easter timing. And because deliveries tend to go out, a few weeks before Easter, obviously to make sure they've got time to get through warehouses and get onto shelves and get put onto display, it meant that we got benefit in Q4, but obviously that's at the expense of Q1. So we've not particularly mentioned it in the announcement today, but you're absolutely right. You know, Q1, particularly, you know, sort of branded grocery and sweet treats would have been stronger if it had been a like-for-like timing of Easter for the quarter. But obviously, you know, we've seen that benefit in Q4.
Got it. And then second question on international. So the parts of international that you mentioned are all performing strongly. So Europe, North America, and Spice Tailor in Australia. But the overall growth was only 6, up against a relatively weak comp as well, I think. So presumably the Australia cake was weak. Could you just remind me what's going on there and maybe sort of update on where we are in that part of the business, please?
So your analysis is spot on. So double-digit growth in Europe and North America, good growth for the Spice Tailor in Australia as well, but overall Australia was pretty flat. And that is that sort of continuation of getting the stock levels right in Australia. This was actually, the outturn here was better than we expected, actually, because I expected to see more stock come out of the system in Australia, Kate, than it did. Because I think we're now getting to the right levels. So therefore, you end up with 6% growth, even though you've got double-digit growth out of Europe and North America, because Australia is so much bigger for us and it's so much more an established market than either Europe or North America. So there's a relative size impact going on there. But actually feeling pretty good about that stabilisation of stock in Australia. You might remember we said we put a logistics person from the UK into our Australian team on the ground to get very close to the retailers and their logistics teams to work through what's the right amount of stock, what should the right frequency of ordering be. And we made quite a lot of progress on that, so I'm feeling a bit more comfortable with it.
And also, just sorry to follow up on that, if you take the sort of stocking issue out of it, what do you think the underlying performance of the Australian cake business has been looking like in quarter?
Well, that's a really good question. Someone asked me that yesterday, and I don't have the analysis, unfortunately. I know that as we went through last year, we were seeing really strong growth, and I know we've got a nice plan this year for the Australian cake business, including a load of new products and continued marketing support. So I'm not worried about the health, if you like, of that business. Although I think it's fair to say it's becoming a more mature business, like in the UK. I'm not concerned about that really.
Understood. That's all from me. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you did want to ask a question on today's call, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads now. That is star followed by one. We currently have no further questions on the line. I will hand back over to the management team for any final comments.
Thank you very much. Well, thanks for your questions, everybody. Look, I think, you know, obviously quarter one's not our biggest quarter. We know that comes later in the year when the weather gets chilly. But nevertheless, we're off to a good start. I'm really pleased with the brand of growth that we've delivered. I'm also pleased with the performance across the pillars, actually, but good to see the international business, you know, picking back up again, which is obviously what we expect to see. So overall, we're in a good position. No change to outlook for the year. Thanks very much.
Thank you. This concludes today's call. Thank you, everyone, for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.